Good morning and welcome back to 501CTV. I'm your host, Janelle Harris, and this is the podcast that talks to system change leaders, thought leaders, nonprofits, and nonprofit partners to find out what's new and what's going on out there. And today I am very excited to have with me Tiffany Doge and Eric Chafin with Children's Harbor. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good. We've got like a packed house in here today, but I'm really excited to have you guys on and talk a little bit about all the great things that you guys are doing, because there's a lot of like really important information that I want to dive into. Definitely want to know a little bit about you guys and how you got into this crazy world of nonprofit fun. And then we'll wrap it up with the important things, which are all of your fun events. You guys have an amazing one that I really want to make sure everyone knows about. So without further ado, hi.
Hi.
Hello. Okay. So Tiffany, how long have you been, you are the CEO of the organization.
I am.
How long have you been with Children's Harbor?
I have been with Children's Harbor for 7 years. This is my seventh year.
That's amazing.
I know. It has been amazing.
So cool. And where did you come from before that? Like what kind of led you down the path of ending up here?
That's a lot. We only have like 25 minutes.
Cliff Notes version. Let's go. Cliff you can do this. Version. I have faith in you.
Well, I grew up in this field. Like I entered child welfare at the beginning of my career. I started at the bottom as a transporter when you get your degree, you're ready to start. You got to start somewhere. I started at the bottom. I was a transporter. So it's the very lowest on the totem pole where they hire you to take kids to medical appointments, to take kids to visitation.
Okay.
You're just kind of a taxi driver for case managers. And I just worked my way up.
Gotcha.
Eventually was a case manager. Absolutely loved working with birth families. But at the time, in the early 90s, I was finding that the foster families that I was placing kids with were more questionable than the birth parents that we were removing the kids from. And I thought, who is licensing these people?
Right.
Like, is there a gatekeeper? And so I started to really explore what it took or what it meant to support foster homes. And so then I moved into got my certification to train foster parents, support foster parents, was recruited by Kids in Distress to build their foster care program in Broward County, and spent 15 years supporting foster families, and that was my love. My husband became promoted as CEO of that organization, and I continued to support that organization, and then eventually was like, oh, I need to do more. All I'm doing is my nails. And like, Children's Harbor was supporting teenagers. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, no one was really supporting teenagers well. And I thought, this is the one thing that Kids in Distress doesn't do.
Right.
And this is a great match for us.
And that's a great point, because I feel like, you know, in talking with a lot of nonprofits just in our community, there has been until maybe recently, like a disconnect. So it's either like babies and younger kids
or
like, you're aging out and
you get the leftovers.
Yeah, like leftovers. So it's interesting to me, and we'll get into kind of like the three areas that you know Children's Harbor serves and what that means and what that looks like. But that's interesting, cuz I've noticed that too a little bit. But well, that's great. So 7 years, that's a long time.
And that includes COVID. And so I feel like every COVID year was like seven dog years.
Plus. Yes.
So it's really been 2,500 years.
Right. Exactly.
2,500 years.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Maybe. 10, yeah. 10 years.
And Eric, you have kind of an interesting journey to where you got to be today. So let's hear about that.
Yeah. No, I actually started my career out in IT back in the 90s. And fast forward to probably about the last 10 years, I was in IT sales, actually brought Children's Harbor on as a client, and then found out that the campus was only like about 7 minutes away from my house.
Awesome.
So I called Tiffany one day. I said, hey, you know, I kind of know what you guys do, but I really like to get more involved. So I took a tour with her and a couple of the gals there and was just blown away, not even knowing Children's Harbor was under my backyard.
Right.
But then having three kids of my own and then seeing the kids that we serve in Children's Harbor, and I was just moved. I'm like, hey, what do you need me to do to really help? So I started to connect Tiffany with people that I knew in my circle, you know, donors and folks that could really help.
Right.
Did that. And then, of course, Tiffany's like, hey, why don't you come up and do some board work?
So.
Yeah. So she pulled me on the board for about a year, did that. And that was actually really rewarding. And then at that time, I was looking for another opportunity in the area. And Tiffany and their board chair has said, hey, what do you think about coming on and really helping us move the needle. And so I've been doing at this capacity for about 3 years in the fundraising
awesome.
Space. So
good for
very
you.
Very rewarding.
How was the transition, like going from corporate into the nonprofit sector? Because
great question.
Yeah, I mean,
terrifying.
That was terrifying.
It was fantastic. I won't tell you anything other than that.
So it's being in sales. I'm sure most people listening to this know that it's KPIs, it's numbers. So I come in, I tell Tiffany, "Hey, here are the activities. This is what we need to do. We have this many calls. We got to do this. We got to do that." She's like, "Bump the brakes. Just hold on a second."
Yeah.
So we met in the middle. And I'm, you know, learned a tremendous amount of the nonprofit space. And, you know, it's obviously it's just connecting people and having them aware what we're doing.
Yes.
And the impact we're making, which is so significant.
Yeah, it's amazing. So speaking of the impact you're making, let's break down exactly what you guys do. Because Children's Harbor has been around
27 years.
Okay, I was going to say, I did my homework. I looked online. I thought it was like 26 or 27 years. That's like a really long time.
It's a really long time for no one to know who you are. So thank God for Eric Chaffin.
Yeah.
Nice. The number of people who came to the campus said, "I didn't even know you were here." Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Honestly, like to your guys' credit, doing this podcast, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this is because so many of my friends even, I mean, Palm Beach County, Broward, there is a ridiculous amount of nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And your general population, unless you are like, you know, tied to a certain cause, they have no idea what's going on out there.
Yes, that is incredibly, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because there are some legends as far as nonprofit existence in South Florida.
Yes.
And they're great organizations. And so if you're a part of the general public, you're like, what is the difference? Why are there so many child welfare organizations? Why do you need so many child welfare organizations? And that's pretty simple answer for us, because you've got Kids in Distress, you've got SOS Children's Village, you've got JAFCO in Broward County, you've got Place of Hope, you've got all these, you know.
Yes.
What is the difference? And we are really niche. They are great organizations.
Yep.
That serve younger children,
mm-hmm.
usually 12 or under. They don't take behavioral children or children who have experienced egregious trauma, who are really struggling with dealing with what they have endured and what's happened to them.
Right.
Along with trauma comes difficult behaviors. If you're 15
yes.
years old, you just can't wrap your brain around the cyclone of confusion that you're going through, and that manifests itself.
Absolutely.
We specialize. We are exclusively dedicated to a niche population, and that is teenagers in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that we serve have gone through unspeakable trauma. If you've seen it on the news, they're probably on my campus.
Right.
They don't want a new family.
No.
They're 16 years old.
Yeah.
They don't want to be placed in a family with a new brother and a new little sister. And they need a chance to, again, wrap their brain around what happened to them. And we do our very best to create a space where they can heal, where they're part of our extended family. We're not trying to replace the people that you love.
Yeah.
We understand that you've lost everything that's important to you. We're just trying to create a place that feels like it could be home for a little while.
Right. And also, like, I think that's important too, because I mean, just you think about that time in any kid's life, being a
yes.
teenager.
Yes.
All the other stuff that comes with
yes.
that. And it's like trying to keep some normalcy
yes.
in that time frame. And also, the one thing that struck me a lot on your website was the whole education piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the dropout rate for
yes.
the foster kid community. That to me was like probably one of the most heartbreaking things, because mm-hmm. education to me, obviously, it's so important, and that's like a foundation, and that's mm-hmm. like a structure that's there for them. And if you take that away,
mm-hmm.
that crash courses the entire future for that kid. So that to me, I thought was really important, and
it is. And thanks to funders like the Jim Moran Foundation, we're able to really have the one-to-one attention that they need right now. We have a boy on our campus. We have a few kids that fit the same sort of story,
mm-hmm.
but he's 17 years old and he reads at a fourth grade level, and it's because he's had to raise himself.
Yeah,
it's because he's never had a grown-up in his life that ever made him go to school.
Invested that time in him. Yes.
He reads at a fourth grade level. He's getting ready to age out in less than 3 months. And so you really need, he's not going to go to school and be with fourth graders or fifth graders. And the alternative schools, you know, they're on a bus for 3 hours. Or
yes.
So the Jim Rand Foundation has really made it possible for us and the Community Foundation of Broward to provide intense academic and life skills programming within our campus so that if we have a kid who's on that far end, who's just too far behind,
yeah,
they can receive that programming on our campus.
Right there.
Without feeling the shame, without yes. feeling that they would feel if they had to integrate back into.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, you mentioned the word campus.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what that means, because, you know, I don't think people understand really how this works, like the teen group home scenario. Like, is it one? Is it many? How many do you have?
Yeah,
let's talk about that, because I think it's really important for people to know what that looks like.
Well, it's amazing when Tiffany and I talk to people around the community, and then until they come on campus is really what we hear all the time. Wow, I never thought this is what this was. So we sit on about 8 acres of land at Pembroke mm-hmm. Pines, and we have a maternity home, we have a boys' home, and we have a girls' home. And at any given time, we're anywhere from 25 to 30 teens that are with us.
Okay.
So when you step on campus, you know, we have a full-size basketball court.
Mm.
We have a gazebo. We have, I mean, it's a very large piece of property.
It's a community.
Yeah, it's a community. That's totally what I envisioned.
You walk on, you feel really warm.
It's a gated community.
It is now.
Yes. Wow. Florida. We love our gated communities.
This is true. This is true.
It is true. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So, and then the age range that's in there, you said, is just that.
Just teenagers.
Yeah,
13 to 17 and, oh, one day shy of 18th birthday. And then if they have nowhere, you know, a lot of our kids go to college,
mm-hmm.
To a state school.
Right.
But if they choose that they would prefer a certification program mm-hmm. or they're just not ready yet, they do have the option to move across town to our second campus, which provides affordable housing and wraparound support to kids who've
cool.
aged out of foster care. And we
yeah.
can have about 34 kids at a time. So we're very niche, and that's the struggle. We serve 30 kids at any given time on main campus and 34 at our Browns Harbor campus.
Right.
And that's not a huge footprint. So it's so difficult
yeah.
to garner support, because, you know, most people want to be affiliated with the Giants,
right.
you know, with the Legends. And so we are very, very intentional about the kids that we serve,
mm-hmm.
making a meaningful impact in the life of specific children. And sometimes our kids are with us for 2 or 3 years. So that is a challenge for Eric when he's out there speaking to corporations and to small businesses that want to support. They're like, they want more bang for their buck. They want
sure.
more kids. And we really are intentionally focused on making a meaningful impact on the lives of specific children, the ones who've been left behind by the system.
Yeah, it's interesting. And Tiffany just touched on that. You know, we have a few donors that have been coming to us just, you know, in the past, I'd say 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very interesting because they were affiliated with large organizations. Now, given everybody's doing wonderful work.
Absolutely.
But these new donors have been coming to us, and they say, hey, you know what? We want to be more involved with something more intimate, something more hands-on,
yes.
something I can see, feel,
yes.
be a part of.
Yes.
And we have people like that. And you can see this shift, a little bit of a shift, where people really want to get into the
nitty-gritty
with us to say, hey, I know I'm writing you a check. I know that I'm doing this, but I really want to see the impact I'm making.
That's one of my favorite things. I'm sorry to interrupt you. One of my favorite things from moving from a larger organization to a mid-size or to a smaller is that when I ask you for $1,500
mm-hmm.
because we need a refrigerator for Miss Donna's house,
right?
I'm showing you a picture of the refrigerator that we bought for Miss Donna's
right.
house,
yeah.
or the sneakers for Grady's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this kid loves red and black. These are the sneakers that he wants. You're not just cutting
that's so huge. And you know, when you guys were talking about how you're like kind of this niche, you know, I that's the first thing I thought was, you know, if I'm a donor and I'm really called to the cause and I'm like this, you know, I really want to help in some way. Nothing to me is more impactful than being able to like really be on the front line. So I was just having this conversation the other day with my husband. Like, I have kids that are in elementary and middle school. Every week it's like
it's
a fundraiser.
Coming.
It's I know.
Coming.
Just wait. The teen years are almost here. But you have these fundraisers, mm-hmm. and they just put a check in my hand. Yeah. We never see where that goes or what it's doing, and it drives me crazy.
Where does the candy money go?
Where does the candy money?
And the wrapping paper money. That wrapping paper is so expensive.
It's so expensive. And like,
but it's nice.
I love that that is, I think that's a huge differentiator for your organization, is that people really, like you said, they're seeing exactly where that impact lies, and that's huge. I think that's so cool.
Well, it's interesting. The one thing that Tiff and I always broadcast in the community is providing a childhood back to these kids. So literally every dollar that we bring in, 88 cents goes directly to providing that experience and that childhood back to the kids we serve.
Yep.
And when people actually understand that and see that, they definitely, you know, want to be a part of it.
And I think they're really surprised about what that means. You're talking about bringing childhood back to a kid. It's like, you had a great week. Let's go to Chili's for dinner. Because the state doesn't fund you for that.
Exactly.
Like things that you just take for granted. Or, you know, you want to go beyond just having a birthday cake for your kid's birthday. You'd like to actually take them to the trampoline. Why can't I never remember the trampoline park's name? You know that?
Adrenaline?
It's the one where they jump up and down.
Flying Squirrel. Yeah, that one. There's one called Flying Squirrel.
Really?
My 12-year-old daughter goes there quite a bit.
Right, but it's, you know, that, it's creating experiences, normal experiences for them.
One of the most heartbreaking things I've ever heard in doing this podcast is I had a guest on, and she said one of the volunteer opportunities that they had was writing birthday cards to the kids that they serve, because most of them, almost all of them, have never, ever, ever gotten a birthday card in their entire life.
I always say this. I'm always surprised at the number of kids that have never had a birthday party. And this year we have a girl. I can't say her name because she's still there, but it was her first Christmas.
I know.
So I know that they don't have quality holidays, but literally her first Christmas, and she's 17 years old, she asked for a Pandora bracelet. So, and I ordered the regular silver one with the heart, just the normal. I didn't even think anything of it. Like, this was just something we could take care of. It was like a normal size gift. We have people who give us gift cards through the year, and I'm like, okay, I've got a gift card, I'll buy this Pandora bracelet. And I was there on Christmas Day. I didn't think this was a huge gift item. I didn't think this was a big deal. And I wasn't even looking at her. So I'm in the room, they're all opening their presents, like, you know, everybody at one time. And she just starts hysterically crying. She opens this bracelet, and it was the loudest, most, she was just hysterically crying. And I'm like,
you're like, is this a good?
I'm like, what happened?
Are we happy? What happened?
And she shared later on that this was something that she was going to reward herself with when she finally aged out. She finally was able to graduate from high school. And she said, I never thought anybody would ever get me anything like this. And she just cried and cried and cried about this Pandora bracelet. And I thought, I know.
I
know, just something I didn't even think twice about, and it means so much, because I just felt so seen.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like somebody finally heard me, somebody finally saw me, and I went like, oh, Pandora bracelet.
I know. And there's so many of those stories.
So many.
I mean, for me, like having kids, it's like,
it comes home quickly.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to see that. But so what are some of the other things you guys also have? So we talked about the group homes, independent living, which is 18 to 23.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's gotta be.
They are making me. That's why my face is sagging into my neck. They're making me old. Just making me old.
You are rocking it. You're doing just fine.
They're killing me. These 18 and 23-year-olds. Give me a 13-year-old any day. Oh my gosh.
I can only imagine the things that, you know, they need to be taught. They're very lucky. Let me just
know,
say that.
Everything all the time about everything.
I'm sure they do.
Try 30 of them. People complain about having two. Talk to me about your two teenagers. Please, let me hear your stories.
They're all coming at you.
We have our second campus is dedicated to kids who've aged out of foster care. Our first is, and then we also serve about 120 families in the community.
Got you. And that's the family strengthening.
That's family strengthening. And that is not at-risk families. That could be your family.
Yeah.
If you have a death in your family and your child is really struggling, and they just, maybe it's the first time they've ever lost someone they loved.
Right.
The Children's Services Council of Broward enables us to go in and provide in-home counseling
to
regular, everyday families that live in our county We have dealt with everything from, unfortunately, the shooting in Parkland.
Yes.
Helping children get over their grief and their survivor's guilt with that unfortunate incident. We've also dealt with gender identity. Mm-hmm. My child thinks that they're female, right, but they're biologically male, and we don't know
how to handle this. That. Yeah.
We've also dealt with there's a lot of anxiety since COVID. Uh-huh. A lot of families have kids that are overwhelmed with social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing a lot of counseling with families to help kind of give them the tools that they need to support their kids.
That's amazing. Tell me about some of the ways, you know, I'm sure volunteers are a big part of your program. How are the volunteers kind of, where are they coming from? Why are they coming to you? And how many more do you need? And do we
That's
need
another
to
challenge.
Put a yeah. 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 Tell me about it.
Yeah. It's actually, we've had some longstanding relationships that groups that come out. Mm-hmm. New York Life happens to be one of them. UKG. And they, you know, from time to time, you know, we need things done in campus. From a facilities perspective,
yep,
or, you know, mulching or painting. And they've been actually phenomenal, mm-hmm, from that perspective.
That's
to
great.
Help us keep things moving. Of course, helping Pete and his team.
Yes.
That's, you can imagine we have two campuses that our facilities team is doing great work, but they also need that extra added help.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just thinking, it's basically a neighborhood. It's a whole little neighborhood community.
It's a neighborhood.
There's a lot of upkeep that goes along with that, I'm sure. So absolutely, that's pretty cool. So on your website, if somebody wanted to get involved, obviously they could go there and
100%
come do some things that way. So let's talk a little bit too, because we are already running out of time.
What?
We could talk for 3 hours to you guys. The events that you guys do, tell me why they're important. Obviously, We need funding and support to make this all happen. Let's talk about some of your events. You have a really cool one coming up.
Absolutely. I'll tell you the small portion, the high level, and then Tiffany getting into the fun stuff.
Yes, you got to show that for sure.
You know, we do quarterly events that help us move the needle. Mm-hmm. But the two big events that help us is Winterfest Boat Parade Watch Party, and then the one we have coming up.
Yes.
That is on March 9th. It is Nash Bash.
This is so cool, you guys.
Yep. Oh.
Wait, am I in? Am I out?
Yeah, am I in?
And how long have we had this event? Because you give me a cowboy boot and you say Nash and I'm there.
This is true. This is true. Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So this is our gala, so to speak.
Okay.
It's Nashville themed. But
yes.
I won't say the thunder because I know you're probably.
We are honoring Ron Bergeron this year with the Beacon Award. Yeah. That's a huge privilege to be able to honor a man that's been honored by everyone, presidents, governors, and now Children's Harbor.
Yeah. You're on the map.
Honor his leadership.
Amazing.
I know. I'm so excited.
That's so cool.
And we've been given the privilege of hosting the event at his ranch. So the Green Glades Ranch.
You guys.
I know.
If you don't get a ticket to this and go, I don't know what else you need.
Now, the only thing I need now to make it
to
make it the pinnacle event is Dolly Parton. Does anybody know Dolly Parton? Dolly
if you're out there.
We need you.
We're going to tag
you're
her.
You're perfect for this event.
What's
the date?
March 9th.
We know you're free March 9th, Dolly.
At the Green Glades Ranch, honoring Ron Bergeron.
Just clear the schedule, Dolly. It'll be
for
fun.
For the kids who've been left behind by the foster care system.
I mean, if anyone has a Dolly Parton contact, please.
Dolly Parton.
We would love her here.
But we host these events because the state funds us for room and board.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. All of the extra, all the Pandora bracelets.
Yes, that's important. But that's important for people to know. Yeah. I mean, that really, room and board, it's
that's it. You get a bed and you get sheets with a comforter.
Yeah.
You don't get posters for your bedroom. Mm-hmm. You don't get anything outside of what's made for you in the kitchen. So there's no Uber Eats coming or special trips to Dairy Queen or Chick-fil-A or, hey, you had a great, there's no normalcy. There's no outings.
Exactly.
You can go to the beach because it's free.
Right.
But you gotta pack a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Bring your bag lunch. Yes.
You might be able to go to the movies, but you're not getting popcorn.
Yeah.
There's no childhood.
Yeah.
There's no anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
You get a few hundred dollars a year for clothing. And if you have a teenager, that means they get one pair of shoes, possibly a pair of jeans and a shirt. Because they'll wear that same outfit over and over and over again.
Yes.
But that's
so important about what you guys do, because like you said, there's a lot of agencies out there that just do the basics, and that's great. We need that. I mean, there's unfortunately way too many kids to serve and make sure that their basic needs are met. But I love everything that you guys are doing. I think it's so cool.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Nash Bash, and then what's your other big one? The boat parade.
Chafin,
come on,
is going to host.
Let's go.
Chafin is launching our very first golf tournament in October.
Stop.
So that'll be coming out fairly soon.
Good for
you. After we get through Nash Bash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. So Nash if you guys Bash. Like the golf, we'll be having our first annual golf tournament.
I know, he's determined to make me love golf.
That's good. I golfed a lot in a former life, but I don't have time to do it now. Now it's like mini golf.
I'm going
to
bring little pom-poms.
Yeah,
there you go. I'm going to make noise, but I'm going to be like, yay.
You could drive the cart. Shot. You just need to drive the cart around and cheer for everyone.
I could drive a cart.
Yes.
I always thought we were doing the gopher outfit. What the gopher outfit? It's what brand gopher outfit.
No, we would not do that to Tiffany.
I'm not doing a gopher outfit. No. We're doing it at the gopher golf course.
Oh, that's where it's at.
Caddyshack.
It's a Caddyshack.
Where Caddyshack was at.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's where Caddyshack was filmed.
Okay, I did not know that that even was down here.
Grand Oaks.
Wow.
Plantation, Florida.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Do you want to drive
a
car with me?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes. I'll make my husband golf because he's like, he's always like, I'm retired. I don't have time to golf. He's a really good golfer. I will make him
come
out.
We're going to set up little tents for the ones who don't like golf.
Yeah.
Like we could just
hang out. Just a hangout area.
You're doing a great job, honey.
VIP lounge.
Yes.
Perfect. We've got this.
Massages.
Right?
Maybe we can get a massage person.
Eric's like,
I
don't.
Seen that on the course.
Really?
We'll take it.
Why not? Somebody will want to volunteer that.
That is genius.
Anybody listening that wants to massage the women who've been left behind by their golfing husbands?
What about the golfers? They're done. I mean, that's what I was.
You guys are fine. You don't need that.
Not enough time for that?
Give me a break. You got to golf all afternoon. You don't need a massage. Complain to me about your golfing life.
You need to have a good golf game. You need to be loose.
I love it.
Okay,
so you guys. Everyone out there, you guys need to follow along with Children's Harbor. Just see everything that they're doing. Also, I will mention that your website is really awesome.
And thank you.
The one thing that I really loved on there was there are actual stories on there from the actual kids that are a part of this community. And it's, again, that's really impactful. That really brings it right into your lap of what
and
is
our
going
YouTube
on.
Channel. We've got quite a few stories of kids that have aged out and allowed us to share a part of their story. So
where do we find that? What's the YouTube channel name? Is it just Children's Harbor?
It should be connected right to the.
Okay, perfect. All right, so we're gonna put all that up so everyone can follow along as we close out here at 501 CTV. Is there any final thoughts, things that you want anyone to know about Children's Harbor, you, the nonprofit world? Gopher outfits, I don't know, anything you want to say.
I think, our motto, breaking cycles and changing lives.
That was great.
But I know that Tiffany's line, that actually is probably more impactful than that, is love them well.
Oh, yes. That's if you remember one thing about us, it's that we do everything we can to love them well and help them get past what they've. But love them well is on everything, on every wall, on every shirt.
That's an amazing motto.
Love them when they suck and love them when they're amazing.
Absolutely.
Love them well.
As a normal parent,
as a normal parent should,
as if you know they were our own children,
and we can't do it alone. So it takes an entire community to help us do that.
Amazing, Tiffany, Eric, thank you so much. This is awesome. Like I said, I would love to have you guys back on too, and
let's do it.
Talk some more about we could really deep dive into this further. 30 minutes is not a lot.
Anytime. Thank you so much for
having us. Thank you very much, and thank you again for joining us here at 501 CTV. And a big thank you, as always, to Kana House Studios, Wellington's first and only content creation studio. We'll see you next time. Thank you.